Before we get into today's Reddit stories, I first of all need to tell you about one of my other favorite Reddit podcasts out there, the OKOP Show. If you guys are looking for even more daily Reddit content, then the OKOP Show with John and Sam is perfect for you. Just search for the letters OKOP wherever you get your pods.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What is going on, everyone, and welcome back to the channel. I hope you're all doing well, and welcome to the return of Revenge Stories. In this episode, I've got four stories of revenge for you, which you're gonna love, starting pretty petty and then ending extremely nuclear. Each revenge story will be more serious than the last, leading up to the story you've seen in the title and thumbnail, which is just unbelievably nuclear. So without further ado, let's get into the first. And remember, these will ramp up as we go along. Like and subscribe if you're new to the channel. Here we go. I've been calling my sister by her full given name when she dead names my niece. My brother's kid, who is a 22-year-old woman, came out as trans on her 21st birthday about a year ago and changed her name from Lance to Lacey. Most of our family accepted it, and the ones who didn't weren't close anyway, except our sister, Eva, who is 45. We are a Native American family with a lot of creative names, and my sister's birth name is something close to Evangeline, but she decided to go by Eva after a white kid said her name was Rezzed Out, i.e. a low-class or stereotypical name from an Indian reservation. She's insisted on Eva for about 35 years, and we all obliged. Now, she's regularly been calling my trans niece by her dead name Lance since she came out as trans, so I started calling her Evangeline, which she hates. The whole family caught on and have only been referring to her as Evangeline for about a year now, and she is furious every time she comes to family events. Recently, she's been calling me by my full first name to bother me. My first name is a portmanteau hyphenation of my mum's four sisters' names. Something like Alexiana Dorothique, but wackier, wow. People have always called me AD or Lexi, or my brothers called me Dodo since he was a kid. I love my full first names, but it's cumbersome to use an 8-syllable name regularly. Well, my full name caught on with family and friends. Just despite Evangeline, we have all reverted back to our full names instead of nicknames. Our dad is no longer Frank, he's Franklin. Our mum no longer Roz, she is Rosalyn. Brother no longer Nate, he's Nathaniel. My sister-in-law is no longer Kate, she's Catherine, etc. This has truly driven Evangeline away, which was the plan in the first place. Lacey makes for better company, so good riddance to one trashy sister. You know what? I just despise people like this. Coming out as trans is probably one of the most courageous things you can possibly do, and it must be an extremely difficult thing for somebody to do, made even worse by people like this, who just don't accept it clearly at all, and still sadly use their dead name to probably make them question whether they even should have come out in the first place. I mean, the only thing that Lacey can do is just ignore Eva as much as she can. And I think, to be fair, OP, with your help and the rest of the families, she has been able to do this. But it's just so ignorant, right? Eva knows what she's doing here. There's no doubt about it. The fact of the matter is, she clearly has an issue that Lacey's name has changed, but then she didn't have an issue calling other family members by their nicknames. Ugh, just a disgraceful person. I hope you disown her. Right, let's step things up a bit. Our next story is some phenomenal escalating revenge. Should have just let me walk away with my share. All you had to do was let me walk away. For some background, I am a practicing internal medicine physician and formerly a 50% owner in what was once a fairly successful med spa with four locations, at least until what happened below. Before anyone accuses me of breaking the law, blah, 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 don't. This has been litigated, resolved, and I won. But it is a fun story. In the beginning, my business partner and I were mere acquaintances working with a large hospitalist practice. Looking for extra income to pay off student loans, we decided to band together and open a med spa offering Botox, minor cosmetic procedures, B12 infusions, etc. And it was a huge hit, big enough for us to go full-time and expand. This lasted around 7 years. Beginnings of problems. My partner decides that his wife isn't enough for him and begins to step out on her. Now, this is none of my business. However, it does become my business when you embezzle money to pay for your sugar baby's gifts from our business account. Fast forward a few years, and I've sat on this information because business overall was too good to walk away from. However, COVID changed things, and we had to close 2 of our 4 locations. My partner has never been great with money or time management, which is why, for the most part, I handled all of the back office stuff, from ordering supplies to billing and payroll and so on. This comes into play later. Around 6 months ago, I began looking for a new position and found a new job. I didn't want to leave my partner in a hard spot, so I gave him a 90-day notice to find another partner or otherwise get his business affairs in order before I resigned. He instead used this time to siphon off more funds for his side piece and allow his unruly children to ransack my office while I was away on a family vacation and frequently not showing up to work or showing up late or super hungover, leaving me to do extra. So it was my time to go and my time to get even. Finally, the time had come to wind down my time. Per our agreement, my partner was to buy out my 50% of the practice, which we agreed would occur on the Monday of my last week. Basically, I'd take 50% of our liquid assets as a bank transfer. Monday, upon checking the bank account, I'd been locked out. And upon regaining access, I found that $30,000 of my half had been moved to an account I did not have access to. I had had it, and I spent the next few days plotting my revenge. Remember those back office things that I handled above? Well, all of those documents, processes, order forms, etc., they're all shared on our shared office hard drive and are absolutely vital to the practice and are way too much work for my partner to do himself in a short time. I just so happened to buy an identical model and take the original hard drive home with me. Upon plugging the hard drive in, I found a backup of his calendar, pictures and emails between him and his mistress, which I forwarded to his wife. The following day, I ran a full-page ad in the local paper announcing a special holiday deal on our services, which we'd planned. Lastly, I hired some college students to write a slew of bad reviews on Google and Yelp to tank the overall ratings. The aftermath. The week after my departure, the clinic was insanely busy and quickly ran out of supplies. Since the order forms, etc., were gone, he had to turn away new and long-standing clients. My partner sued for the documents, and I countersued for the $30,000 he owed me. We settled by exchanging the two. I've since heard that his wife divorced him, his mistress left him, and subsequently, he has filed for bankruptcy as the clinic never recovered, and his wife cleaned him out. I, on the other hand, really like my new job. Well, this is an absolute masterpiece, and yeah, he deserves it. He absolutely deserves the destruction that you've put upon him and the fact that probably his life is pretty ruined right now. It's just weird because your lives were going so well. Your relationship was so good, right? As business partners, and you were growing this great business. Even through COVID, managing to keep half of your sites open as a new business is extremely impressive. I mean, most businesses definitely would have just completely gone under there, but you managed to keep 2 out of 4 locations open. But no, apparently that wasn't enough. I've got to embezzle loads of money to pay off my new women that I'm chasing, and then some other stuff as well. You know, even your partner who you've grown this business with, you're willing to just hide money from, take money away from them. Yeah, disgusting. And once again, very, very deserve revenge. Okay then, let's step things up once again. Now it's time for some serious stuff. This is r/pro revenge. Do not scheme people and talk about it in another language. They might understand it. I am a Serbian who moved to America to work for 4 years. I was in a smaller IT company, around 20 people, and I was highly regarded by the owners. There were 2 of them. Sometimes I represented them in meetings, mostly when showcasing the company's services and so on. One day, while on a break, I overheard one of the owners mentioning they had a meeting with a Serbian company and they would like me to accompany them in case there were any communication issues. I agreed. During the meeting, we forgot to mention that I was Serbian. I was introduced as an assistant, so I didn't feel the need to introduce myself. When we presented our services, they started speaking in Stravakaj, apologies if I've pronounced that wrong, a Serbian slang where words are twisted, probably thinking that if anyone had learned Serbian, they wouldn't be able to understand them. I understood every word. They were attempting to deceive the company, and it was evident we weren't their first or last target. I wrote down a few things they said, translated them, and showed one of the owners the translation. After the meeting, they asked if I was sure, and I confirmed. Due to some procedures, we had to meet one more time. But, with permission, I said, Raz milisemo o vasem predlogu, which, by the way, translates as, we will think about your proposal. They just froze for a second. Face white and open-mouthed, they looked at each other and tried to stay cool. But you could hear in their voices, they knew they screwed up. We didn't sign anything with that company. I don't know how many times over the course of my channel's history I've seen stories similar to this. I don't know what it is with idiotic people that just don't think that other people could potentially speak their language. Like, surely the fact that you are speaking your language in the country you're in tells you that there could be other people in the country you're in also speaking the same language. I mean, why even risk this? Why try and talk behind people's backs who you're trying to get money off or, you know, do business with in a situation like this? If you're going to try and scheme someone, and probably don't do it, but if you're going to try, probably don't speak about scheming them to their face. Just insane. Ultimately, they've lost a lot of money. And yes, what they were doing was terrible anyway, but they could have at least made some money from it. So for them personally, their idiotic screw up just cost them tens of thousands of dollars probably. What I do hope is that you got a big pay rise or at least a promotion, because you've saved the company. Now, we don't know how much money it was, but you've saved the company probably a heck of a lot of money just from this one thing and being in that meeting. And also sticking your neck out and telling your bosses, look, I know this is weird, but this is literally what's happening right now. I'm 100% confident on it. How much money might you have saved them? I mean, we have no idea. But yeah, I hope you got a bonus at least. Okay, now that is going to do it for the, let's be honest, sort of safe, gentle stuff off this episode. The next story is crazy. It comes from Nuclear Revenge. As you can see by the title and the thumbnail, it is just mental. And yeah, I hope you're prepared for it. If you're not, then just be prepared. Now, before we get into it, I do just want to mention something. It's a bit of an announcement, actually. A lot of you have been commenting, and you've seen over the past couple of weeks or so on my channel, that I've been posting pretty much only stories that are based on relationship drama. Stories from r/relationship advice, r/relationship subreddits like that. And the reason for that is because I've just been loving those sort of posts and stories at the moment. They come from, you know, best of Reddit updates, that sort of stuff. So there's always conclusions. There's always a lot of drama, which I like, and you guys seem to be liking as well. And that is the reason why I'm covering a lot of them. Now, as you can see in this episode, we're back on a more normal standard subreddit for my channel, pro-revenge and revenge subreddits. But I'm really enjoying the relationship stuff at the moment. So for that reason, I don't want to completely inundate you all with solely relationship drama content. So what I've done to appease myself and those of you that really like the drama stuff is I've made a new channel, Redditor Extra, where I'm going to be posting solely relationship drama stories, be that weddings, bridezillas, cheating, anything. I mean, you guys have seen over the past couple of weeks, these stories can have literally anything in them. Over on that channel. Now, I've already posted one entire video episode on that channel, and the reason why nobody has seen it yet, and I've not told anyone yet, is because I wanted to wait until, you know, quite a long time into a normal episode of mine to tell you guys still listening and watching right now, the core audience, about the channel. It's a bit of a secret, okay? So I only want the people that are really fans of my stuff to go over there and enjoy the channel. You know, don't tell people about it. Keep it to yourself. I'll leave a link to it, not even in the description. It's just gonna, I'll leave it in the description, but a few lines down. And I'll also put it on the end screen as well. But yeah, don't go talking about it loads in the comments. I just want this to be for the core fans. All right, with that being said, hopefully people haven't heard that. But yeah, search for Redditor Extra or click the link at the end of this one. Now, let's get in to the fourth and final story of this episode.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Make up rumors that I have CP and I'm a prostitute because I won't date you. Say goodbye to your new $150,000 car and hello prison and a ruined life. So first of all, let's introduce the characters. Me, an 18-year-old male, unmedicated senior. Psycho incel, referred to as PI, a 16-year-old boy. So, for backstory, I was the only gay kid in what felt like my entire small, deep south southern town, and came out very young, so that identity kind of stuck. My family was mostly very supportive, and I'm grateful for that, because outside of two or three friends, I might as well have had a scarlet A branded to my forehead. Eventually though, a few other people came out, one being Psycho Incel, a very wealthy, spoiled, all-American entitled kid who drove a very, very expensive new car. Now, when he first came out, it was to no one's surprise, but regardless, a mutual friend was worried it would be a hard time and asked if I would befriend him and give him tips on how to get through it, etc. I, of course, said yes. Big mistake. Now, by this time, I didn't care what anyone thought because the people who mattered had already made it apparent and vice versa. So I was pretty open about the fact that I was actively dating someone much, much older than me. I don't want to hear it, that's not the point of the story. It was a wonderful, healthy relationship that my conservative, traditional dad even supported, so shut up. Fair enough, no comments from me, not that I would comment anyway, respect. Now, after getting coffee with Psycho Incel and being friendly, he apparently developed feelings for me, and after he confessed, I gently told him I was seeing someone and that I was very happy. This was common knowledge in our gossip-ridden high school anyhow, and that was apparently not acceptable to him, and he went ballistic. In small towns, there are often what's known as junior-senior wars, where the two grades have a war of harmless, albeit annoying, pranks. However, our school was not completely uncivilized, so there was a group chat for both grades to discuss rules, limits, such as no damaging, no hitting houses if someone expressed that they weren't participating, renting, etc. Well, in that group chat with over 1,000 kids, Psycho Incel thought it would be a great time to drop bombshell number one. I had expressed that I was not participating, to not hit my house as it's rented, and so on and so forth. Cue Psycho Incel responding directly and saying, "What? You can't afford to buy it with all the money you've been making being a prostitute for your 50-year-old boyfriend?" I would like to say first off, my boyfriend was nowhere near that age. I saw red. I loved that man to death and felt a forehead vein practically hemorrhage. Safe to say, the rumor passed through the high school and the community. My coaches took me aside, our extra religious teachers tormented me more, and I was a pariah. Oh well, I had acceptance to a top university, my friends, my boyfriend, and my family. I was almost done. Then the next rumor dropped. And this is when I went nuclear. One day, I got a call from my friend, and immediately I knew something was wrong. Apparently, little Psycho Incel had decided it was a good idea to lie and tell people that I had 1. Cheated on my boyfriend, 2. Made a video with the guy I cheated with, 3. It was with a junior, someone under 18. None of which was remotely true. Thankfully, he was very popular and very straight and was also an obsession of Psycho Incels and knew where it came from. And he agreed to, in writing, express that none of this was true and gave me copious amounts of evidence, screenshots of texts, Instagram DMs, etc., of Psycho Incels online harassment. I kept all of this in a file just in case this ever got out and I needed to defend myself. And thankfully, it never became more than a funny, impossible, salacious story made up about me. However, it was too late for him, as I was already very mentally unstable, and this would have ruined everything I was riding on. Now, on to the revenge, finally. So not only was Psycho Incel's car brand new, but it was a new car because he destroyed his old one and was not getting another. Love small town gossip, but also driving through someone's house is pretty conspicuous, lol. Now, I'll admit I did not come up with this. I read it in a fanfiction, but it actually worked out very well. The first thing I did was go to the furthest bait and tackle shop I could find, and I bought catfish bait. Now, if you don't fish, you might not know, but catfish love the stinkiest, smelliest bait you can find, and I bought a whole jar of the slop. I knew the parking lot of my school had no security or cameras because my car had already been vandalized. I did embrace the F word carved into my door with pride eventually. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. And then I got to work in the cold February morning. The first thing I did was hammer nails into 3 of his tires. Now, this wouldn't pop them immediately, but they would eventually each deflate at much more inconvenient places, and nails would look more accidental than if they were slashed. Then I took poison ivy and rubbed it all over the door handles of his car. Afterwards, I took a mix of gravel and Vaseline and spread it all over the windshield wipers, which would just scratch the heck out of it once he used them. My favourite, however, was using that catfish bait. Knowing enough about cars, i.e. copious googling, I figured out how to get to the AC portion and I poured in the catfish bait. Sadly, I wouldn't be able to witness this, but he wouldn't be using his AC for another month or so since it's still cold. All that time for it to rot, fester, congeal, and the first day it's warm and he decides to blast AC, his car will be filled with the fumes of 1,000 rotten piles of roadkill and low tide without any idea where it's coming from or how to get rid of it. The next part of this story is honestly out of pure dumb luck, and I can't claim complete responsibility from the universe's work. However, I, being the obsessive paranoid type, would check his socials from a burner account now and again, perhaps hoping to hear about his fishy car or to see if he aired out more rumours about me. One day, I found something odd. Nothing. Every single social media was gone. Out of pure curiosity, I googled his name and found something very juicy and very crazy. He was arrested in an entirely different state for attempting to impersonate a government official and bring a gun into a theme park. Safe to say that didn't fly, but also it did not get enough traction as I would like. Thus, I sent it to everyone I knew in our small town. His summer job, future college, our high school, that giant group chat of over 1,000 people. Yeah, it got sent there as well. By the end of the day, he was a pariah, jobless, and collegeless. I left my town, and honestly, I haven't heard anything about him since. But I can't imagine he amounted to much, being that insane, and with that type of crime as well. Well, there we go. Safe to say things definitely ramped up in this episode. My word. I mean, to be honest, the first three stories were pretty chill. That last one, wow. Goodness me. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than accusing someone of having or creating CP. I mean, that is just revolting. And to be honest, I think you should go to prison for that. I mean, you have to be arrested for that. That is such a bold, huge claim that can absolutely destroy someone's life, even if it's not true, that I think the ramifications have to be serious for the person making that claim if it is completely false, and they know it's completely false, and they're just doing it to, I don't know, destroy your image. To be honest though, despite all you did, which was great, it seemed that in the end, he was the one that actually pressed his own self-destruct button, right? I mean, where did that come from? The fact that he impersonated a police officer and walked into a theme park with a gun. What the heck? I mean, I did not see that coming. Just shows that this guy was absolutely insane. I think that the incel is a pretty good word to describe him, let's be realistic, although it's probably more than that. I don't really know what he was planning to do with that gun though. That is the scary thing. And based on the other stuff that we've seen him do throughout this story, I don't know. I'm only just kind of thankful that he was caught before anything serious happened. Anyway, guys, that is going to do it for this one. Remember, Redditor Extra is my brand new channel purely for relationship drama stories. If you would like to check out the first ever video uploaded there, it's on screen here. Again, don't tell anyone. It's just my own little secret, all right? It's for the hardcore fans that want to see, you know, loads of stuff from me. So if your friends like just, oh yeah, I watch Redditor like once a week, don't tell them. Don't tell them. This one is for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.